Last time I stood up here, I kind of spoke too fast. But this time, as tired as I am, I doubt I'll speak too fast tonight.
Now, why would you be tired? Just because you went and spent the weekend on D-Day? D-Now?
Well, I wasn't tired from that, just not sleeping.
Sleep on the floor.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord, there's so much to thank you for. It's just hard to name anything, Lord, because you're responsible for every good thing we have, Lord, especially your Son, Jesus, Father. And we just ask, Father, tonight that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just take over. The Holy Spirit would just proclaim the word tonight and just speak to us, Lord, and reveal to us, Lord, what you have us to learn, Lord, and that you would just pierce each of our hearts, Lord, and open them, because none of us are perfect, Father, especially me, Lord. And I think this message is more for me than it is for anybody else in here, Father. But, Lord, just help us and grant me the ability to proclaim your word truthfully and boldly and how the Holy Spirit wants it spoken, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight. We thank you for being in our lives and loving us so much that you died for us. It's in your precious and holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Have you ever thought about fear? What's the first thought you have when you think of the word fear? Well, my wife is scared to death of escalators. She is petrified of them. I don't know why. I mean, she's petrified of them. Well, I want to share. I was doing a devotion, and that's how I come across this. And we're going to be in Psalm 86 is where we're going to be at, but not actually going to be jumping all over the place. So, and there's a phrase in verse 11 that we're going to focus on, and from there we're going to move and look. And it, for some reason, the Lord really grabbed me. In these three verses that I'm fixing to read out of Psalm 86. I'm sorry. Sometimes I think we fear for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we think we have a righteous fear, but it's not so righteous. The intent is righteous, but the actual fear is not. And I like to share the difference between a wrong fear and a righteous fear. And I asked Pastor to pray for it. I was glad I was given another week, because this was one of the toughest lessons I have ever studied. And there's still, I haven't even begun to hit the surface of it. This is just the basics of what God has revealed and taught me, and how he has used me, and thinking that I had the faith that I have, but then he opened my heart and showed me, well, son, you still have fears. You haven't. And lo and behold, I'm going, surprise, I said, I thought I surrendered all that to you. And sometimes we don't even realize we hold on to fears without wanting to. But sometimes the fears aren't affecting us. Like, say, if being on a roller coaster or being on an escalator, or if you're scared of heights. My dad was definitely scared of heights. And that kind of fear is quick, and you know it, and just you shake, and your heart is just like fixing a pound out of your chest. But the fear I wanted you to look at within yourself is, am I fearing the way God wants me to fear? Is the fear within me a godly fear? Because there are ungodly fears that the Bible warns us of. Let's read Psalm 86, 11 through 12. Or 10 through 12, I'm sorry. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, and my God, with all my heart. I will glorify you, your name forevermore. In verse 11, the last part of verse 11 says, unite my heart to fear your name. Well, after studying it and meditating on it, I just kind of was focusing on, well, what's these three scriptures telling me? Because it's like those three scriptures just opened up out of this whole chapter. But when we got to verse 11, it was that phrase, unite my heart to fear your name. You ever thought about that? Unite your heart to fear God's name. We can't do it. That's one big thing I did find out. We cannot do that. We are not able to do that. We need Christ in our life. And we need to have Christ to help us through this. But there's several, I didn't use them all, but there's several passages or examples of ungodly fear. And the first one is out of James chapter 2, verse 19. I didn't write the verse down, so I need to look it up. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. Well, we know that when Jesus was here, when he was walking on the earth, the demons would beg him not to kill him when he cast them into the swine, or when he pulled them out of, I can't remember the one that he pulled out of the crazy guy that was chained up. And the demons know who Christ is. They don't worship him because they want to be him. Why is it so hard for us when we sit here and we study and we sing songs of surrender, we sing songs of the power of God? Why is it so hard that our fears guide us instead of our fear for Jesus? But our fear, and we're going to go in depth about the fear of the Lord. Now, I did this, and from the Old Testament and the New Testament, I found over 200 things that talking about the fear of the Lord, why we should fear, and how we can fear. And the Bible tells us, in the verses that I picked out, tells us how to fear God and with a godly fear. Our second one is out of Matthew 25, verse 14. And it talks about the talents. I want to read it because I don't remember it word for word. I had all these marked in my, I dropped my Bible and all my marks fell out. And this is Jesus, what Jesus says. The parables of the talents. Verse 14 in chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far empty country, who called out his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Let's hold up there. They're talking about money. But if we look at this as talents, what about the talents that God gave us to work and to serve in his name, whether it's in this church or in a ministry outside, anywhere that God chose you? This, when I read this, look at it that way. Look at it as a way of the gift that God gives you. Because we need to understand God gives us those gifts for a purpose. And just because you have that gift, and it may not be as good as a gift somebody else has over here. Sometimes I don't want that one. Like Pastor, I don't want his gift. I personally don't think I have that kind of the way he preaches and teaches and stuff. I learn a lot from Pastor. But the gifts that I do have, I need to use. And I need to use to glorify him. If I use it to glorify me, I am working for myself.
That's it.
I'm trying to lift myself up. We need to realize that our job as a child of God is to lift up the name of Jesus, to obey his word, and to go out there and be examples of servants as Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. That's kind of the humility we need to go show here first and show it out there. Because if we can't do it here, you're definitely not going to be able to do it outside the doors. In verse 16, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made five more talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more talents. But he who had received the one went and dug into the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. The Lord said in verse 21 to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22. He also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. Yet his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then the one who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast in the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I read this, the first verse that came to mind was John 15:5. The first part of that verse says, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I abide in him and bears much fruit. The fear of God is not literally the sense, it represents like a parent and a child, a father and a son. And you love your children. They do wrong, you have to punish them. God does the same thing with us. That doesn't mean he hates us. It means that he loves us. But if we're going to bear fruit, the true will of God is to be like him, is to obey him, to be like his son, to acknowledge his son and tell others about his son, and to bear fruits. Use your talents, use your gifts, use the Holy Spirit that is within you, allowing him control of you, that you will decrease while he increases, and that you will be a better instrument for God's will. Not your will, but God's will. Because without Jesus, we can do nothing. And it applies with Philippians 4:13. He is our strength. He's the only one who can guide us and help us. Everything we do is because Christ allows it. Even when we do sinful things. Doesn't mean that God tells you here, it's okay for you to do that. But he's giving you that choice to make. Are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to follow the Son? Are you going to follow the flesh, the worldliness? It's a constant battle we have every day. Not just every day, but every moment of your life. 1 minute, everything could be going great. The next second, you feel like the whole world is on your shoulders. And a lot of that is because of our doing, because we allow sin in. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I looked up the word fear, a worldly fear, and it said that to be overcome, to be, I wrote it down, but it was one of my pieces of paper that I had. It basically says that you are a slave, is the interpretation that I got from it. Basically, we are a slave to sin, we are a slave to this world, and we are a slave to the Prince of Darkness. But then I looked at what the fear of God is. And bear with me now. I've got several different answers, but there's only one true answer. But I want to go through them. Like in verse 11, when I said, "Unite my heart to fear your name," I was looking that up, and in the Nave dictionary, it says that it is to worship, obey, and to honor the Lord. Basically, to do the will of God. And then I printed something out. I'm trying to remember who this was. This was from, I wrote it down. Oh, Oh, the Complete Word Study Dictionary is where this came from. It says, Pastor, you might have to tell me if I pronounce this right, because I'm not good at saying Hebrew names. Yar, Y-A-R-E. Did I say that, pronounce that right? Okay. That is the word for fear in the book of Hebrew, or in the Hebrew language, and it means to respect, to reference, to imitate, and to view as a positive quality. And it also says it's to acknowledge that God is their product of righteousness. So as I was reading this, I come down to understand that the fear of God, and I'm gonna show you through some more scripture that is walking with Christ. That's all it is. It's walking with Christ to become like Christ, to become imitators of Christ. In Deuteronomy 10:12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. We need to use every fiber of our being. And by surrendering that much, which means all of us, it takes complete surrender to Christ. And it's a surrender that you can't do just once. It's constant. Because we're attacked. I don't like to blame everything on the devil, because the devil doesn't cause everything, because he's not Jesus. He can't be everywhere. But there's a lot of times the world out there that we go in, that we live in, as Pastor have said before, the cursed earth is attacking us constantly, especially if you tell them you're a Christian and they say, I'm going to watch you. I used to have it happen all the time when I witnessed at work. They would tell me, I know you're a Christian, but now that you told me, I'm going to watch you and see if you mess up. I told them, I'm not perfect. I can't live a perfect life. He said, I'll watch you. And I'll watch to see how you handle it when you do mess up. And the only thing there is, all I can do is give it to Jesus. And that's what I told him. I said, I can't promise you I'm not going to mess up, because I don't have that kind of power within me. My only power like that is Jesus Christ. And he did. Before he retired, I had one of the guys who told me that before he retired, he said, I've watched you. You've messed up, but you corrected yourself. If you made a mistake and said something wrong, you apologized, you asked for forgiveness, and you did it right then and there. You didn't put it off or wait. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. So far, everything is about us being taught by God, being taught by the Holy Spirit, about obeying, about walk in his ways, about loving him, about serving him, about keeping his commandments, obeying his voice. Hold fast to him, cling to him. Don't let go. I remember one time when I was witnessing to somebody. It was when we were doing faith at a church a long time ago, not long after I become a Christian. And I said, if you really want to know what Jesus is like, because they asked me. They just prayed and asked for forgiveness. They asked Jesus to come in their heart. They got saved. They said, what do I do now? I said, you need to come to church. If you don't come to our church, at least come to a church. That's a Bible preaching church. And allow the Holy Spirit to teach you when you get in here. And he goes, he didn't understand what I meant. I said, when you read your Bible, I don't care if you read one verse or four chapters. It don't matter how much you read. I told him to read the Gospel of John first and read through it. And I said, read it at your pace and just pray and ask God to give you understanding and insight and understand and wisdom of your word. Because that's where the teaching of God truly comes from. As Roger said yesterday and last night, it's all about Jesus. And as Pastor said, it's all about Jesus. In Psalm, how do we fear the Lord? In Psalm 32:8, this is probably the verse that I like the most about teaching us and showing us how we need to fear the Lord. In Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's Jesus talking to us. Jesus will instruct us. That doesn't mean he doesn't want us to help disciple other people. We need to do that. We're commanded to do that. But the fear of the Lord is all about learning and growing in Christ. That's the truth. Because for a long time, I just thought it was a reverence. You just got to reverence God. You gotta realize he's the Almighty One, one true God. But it's more personal than that. It's much more personal than that. I gotta hurry up. And I got two more verses I want to go over, and I'll rush through those. In Psalm 34:11, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. There's so many verses in this Bible, especially the Old Testament, that tells us how to learn about Christ, how to fear the Lord. And truly, the best way to fear the Lord is to grow closer to Jesus. Have a more intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. That's all it takes. It's as simple as that, and as hard as that. Because sometimes we have trouble surrendering. Some of our fears, we have trouble. And I think my biggest part is my children, is the older ones, or even James, all of them. You've been where they are. You may not. I know the decades are different than it was when I was a kid, but we still have wisdom of how to grow, and we can teach our kids that. And sometimes I fear that I'm doing it wrong, but Dahl and I will talk, and we can't do that. We can't punish ourselves for something like that. Because Jesus said to raise them up in the Lord and give them to him. Let him take care of them. So we pray for them and we let the Lord do it. Because I can't make my grown kids do what I want them to do, what I think is best for them. Because what I think is best may not be best. So we pray that the Lord will give them wisdom. Last verse, and I've quoted this verse many, many times, but I have a different reason for this verse tonight. Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's start at the bottom of this verse. Follow. The literal sense of follow is leaving all, forsaking all. When he called his disciples, when he called them, they just got up and left. They just dropped it and left. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that kind of fear? Yes, we should. Do we sometimes take God for granted? I know I have. And the last part of that is deny and take up the cross. We need that before we can ever do anything as a child of God. We have to realize and study the walk that Christ had from the moment he was born to the moment he was crucified. He lived the majority of his life as we do, as the word's right on my tongue, going through life as we do. It's not the word I'm thinking of. Experiencing life. He knows it, but he had to experience it. No, he already knew what it was like, what it was going to be like. But when he did that, I'm talking about before he started his ministry, we got to realize if it wasn't from him when he was born until he was 30 years old, he experienced life like we did. He lived like we did. He had pain and sorrows and suffering, hunger and thirst, family, friends, death. He went through all that so we would know that he understands what we're going through. I believe it wasn't for that part of his ministry, how could he relate to us? That's, I think, the virgin birth, his life, and then his ministry. Each one had a part. His virgin birth meant that he was the Son of God because the Father was his true Father. And as he walked, like we did, as he lived as a human being, he was still, even though he was 100% God, he was still a mortal person. He still suffered and bled and hungered and worked. He worked. And that I think that's a big majority. If it wasn't for that part right there, how could we identify with him? Have you ever thought about that? That's one of the things that helped me understand the fear of the Lord. God just doesn't say, you have to obey me right now. He can, but he chose not to. He chose to live as we did. He chose to experience life as we do. Do we realize that we have a Savior that knows every single thing that we're facing and how it feels and how hard it is and how painful it is and how difficult it is? If you can't understand that part, then you can't understand the fear of God. You need that part. You know, I never thought about that before until I started studying this. We always talk about the virgin death. We always talk about the three-year ministry. We always talk about the scourging. We always talk about the crucifixion. That's just as important. Jesus uses that to identify with us. He loved and he lost. He cried. When he looked over Israel, he cried over them. Because he knew they were going to reject him. He loved them so much. But he still did it. Because he loves us. And that's what the real fear of the Lord is. It's a deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just obeying him. It's just not just doing his will. It's knowing him. If you read Psalm 139, it talks about how God is intimate with us and how God wants us to be that intimate with him. And the only way we can do that is through his word. That's the only way. There's no other way. Praying, allowing others to help us and we help each other. Being a true church. Because we're family. We're brothers and sisters by the blood of Christ. Well, that's all I have. I'm sorry it took so long. It's almost 7 o'clock.